We certainly praising God for our pastor being back with us and for the Lord having kept him and invigorated him to return to this pulpit and to continue in the curriculum that the Lord has given him. Amen. And unto us. So let us, without further ado, sit attentively and be blessed of God again through our pastor, blessed of God through our pastor to receive the Lord's word of grace for us. Let's receive Pastor with a hearty amen. Hallelujah. All right, we got it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this day, this hour. We thank you for this opportunity. Oh, Father, you've been so good.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
For it is the grace of God that has come to let us know and understand just how good you are.
Yes, Lord.
And so we just come to say thank you, Lord, for the enablement, for the enlightenment, for elucidation of knowing and comprehension who you are. Amen. And who we are in the fact that we are in you. Now, Father, as we return, amen, to our course of ministry, ask that you bless each and every one, all the hearers, whether present here in this auditorium this morning or whether in the audience of our website media.
Yes.
Wherever an ear may be to hear, ask, Lord, that you bless and give understanding so we can know and understand and appreciate you more.
Yes.
Now, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would touch my body and I might minister the word of God.
Yes.
And then bless these lips of clay. Bless us in this hour. As we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Here we are. Amen. According to God. Amen. Ministering the essence of the grace message, which is the greatest of all the message in the sense that the messages in the prior dispensations were all basically viewed and written from the vantage point of time. Now, the grace message, the grace gospel, does, amen, convey a messages of time, but from the vantage point of eternity. So what we get is looking down on it instead of around in it. You should all have the handouts which this document here is basically, we have coined it temporary worldly experiences. Repeat after me. Temporary worldly impressions.
Temporary worldly impressions.
Of eternal actualized existence.
Of eternal actualized existence.
One deals with what we see. That is temporary worldly impressions. We call it the matrix. And eternal actualized existence is what God has said, which is the real or the real deal. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning. Now, we shall be on Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now, we shall be on this some time. In fact, this document is an excerpt of an excerpt in the next year, 2017. You shall be getting weekly excerpts from this document, some 60-some pages long. And what you have in your hand this morning are some excerpts of excerpts. So what we're basically going to do this morning is give what we call a prolegomenon. Every time you use a word, I guess you should stop and explain it. Amen. It comes from the Greek word, and using the modern Greek pronunciation, proyein. You deal with proloein, I should say, which deals with, is broken down in the Greek. Pro means what?
Before.
And logos, which is the simplest form of the verb for word, basically, in its inflection, is deal with logo, which means word, but its inflection there, logoein, again, modern Greek pronunciation, means saying. So it's a before saying. We would call it a prologue. In books, it's called the preface. In the prologue in a play. Basically, it is the introduction. So basically, all our time will allow this morning is an introduction into this blessed conveyance. Again, repeat after me. Temporary worldly impressions. That's what we think we see of eternal actualized existence. Which is what God has said. Amen. So whatever you see, amen, you shouldn't stop there in your assessment. Ever. You should go further in seeking to know what is the eternal actualized existence, which is actually God's saying. The former, that is the impressions of physical secular, and the existence is spiritual. Now we need to stop and define these terms again. It's been a while. Temporary means what?
Not long.
Not long. Eternal means what?
Forever.
The essence of temporary seeing is arrested in eternal saying of what God has said. Somewhere along the line, we're going to deal with the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, but not today. So the difference there, amen, basically is the essence of what really is. Sometimes I have been interfacing with people and there were problems, and then they said, what am I going to do? And my answer is always, why don't you preface that? That is, what you are going to do is according to what God has already done.
I hear you.
Hmm? Even in our season of politics, I look at, and I'll be glad when it's over, I don't know about you. Come on now with these political ads, basically saying, if I'm elected, I'm going to do this. How many times have you heard that? Who's in control?
God.
Someone asked me, who do you think going to win the election? I said, who already has won? Looked at me strange. Who's going to be president? I said, who already is president? Based on the fact that manifestation has to follow the decree. And then someone asked me, said, aren't you afraid, Mr. Trump? I said, no, I'm not afraid of Mr. Trump or Miss Clinton. Yeah, but he could mess us up. And I said, if Rome survived Nero, we can survive Trump or Clinton. Who's in control? But you see, we get caught up in these temporary worldly impressions when our focus should be on eternal actualized existence. And this is why, no matter what's going on out there, no matter what's happening, when we come in here, we go into the eternal sphere, and yeah, we'll talk about what basically visible before our eyes, but then from the eternal vantage point of knowledge, we are going to express everything in terms of God. Everything is according to who?
God.
According to God.
Right.
According to God. Ephesians 3 and 11, amen, he purposed the ages. When? Before the ages got here. So anything and everything that's happening has been prearranged, determined, which means it is pre-controlled. By who?
God.
By God. By God.
Jesus.
By God.
That's right.
Amen. We are looking at things and we should be looking at God.
That's right.
And this is why every time we come before you, amen, we're going to be talking about what God has done.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And from there, we deal with what's we're doing or what's happening, amen, in the stage basically before us. Now, I'm going to go as far as I can. One thing I know that I'm going to need to kind of pace myself. It's going to take time for me to get back, amen, into the actual moving into it. But as I said this morning, we are just going to give what we call the preliminaries. Amen. Now, from this document, you might, especially those that are watching, you might, from other portions of our website, particularly in the doctrinal discourse sector, there are two other documents. One is called the Doctrine of Peripatiology. Everybody said peripatiology.
Peripatiology.
What is that? Amen. Basically, it comes from the Greek word peripatesin. Basically, that means your walk.
Amen.
Your functioning. Amen. The child of God's function. Amen. So when we talk about things as being peripatetic, we're talking about basically how we are walking about, moving about, functioning, amen, in manifestation.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
What is actualized, amen, dominates what pertains to us walking about, traveling about from place to place as an itinerant. Now, when you understand that, it draws you into complete confidence, amen, in God. Because in actuality, what we have are imaginary itineraries. God has the agenda. Everybody say God has the agenda.
God has the agenda.
Amen. And so, from this, amen, we look into the scriptures and see what God has planned for us. And the eternal plan, enlighteningly, is one that brings confidence,
yes,
peace, joy.
That's right.
Happiness.
That's right.
Oh, no, not based upon what's around us. Everything around us could be collapsing.
Come on, yeah.
Amen. But in the midst of the storm,
yeah,
there is calm.
Okay.
As in a hurricane.
Yes, amen.
Amen. The safest place to be in a hurricane is where?
In the
eye.
In the eye.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So basically, amen, we are not captives of it. Amen. We are victors in it.
Hallelujah.
So we just thank God, amen, for this knowledge. The other document is a scripture analysis of Perennius. Now again, we need to deal with that, and we will. In fact, one of the words, amen, that we are dealing with in Romans chapter 1 deals with that. And basically, we'll get into that, amen, as we move through. Now, brethren, I know that you all got your Greek lexicons out.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Now, I do not apologize that here in the Grace Gospel Church, we believe in, amen, detailed exegesis. What is that? Scripture interpretation. And so many said to me, Pastor, instead of getting up here going through all of that Greek and breaking down and so forth and so on, why don't you just tell us what it is? Well, the semantics, that is the meaning, should be drawn from what? The syntax. What is the syntax? That is the grammar. Because if I give you the wrong meaning or utterance, I'm confined to giving you the wrong explanation of the conveyance. So, wrong utterance, wrong explanation. So you go out of here on the basis of what I have said, and it's all wrong. And then there's something out there waiting on you. And this is what has happened in many, many instances.
Yes.
Now, again, I'm just going to this morning deal with the prolegomenon, that is the entrance into this. All right. Elder Liverman is our designated reader.
Yes.
Everyone has Romans chapter, I guess, long prolegomenon, I guess. Amen. But this is the prolegomenon of the prolegomenon. So this is the introduction of the introduction. Amen. Because that word, basically, when you break it down, means to say before. Before, pro, logo, basically, logo means word. It can mean saying. So what is before the saying? All right. Elder, let's start reading first from the King James. Like I say, if I go so far, amen, I'm going, I'll be back next week, Lord willing.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Everyone has to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Elder, first from the King James and then from the Greek. Let's just read that one verse. Now, what we're going to do this morning is part of our preface, as part of our introduction, is that we're just going to deal with that one verse, but we're going to take that verse apart. In a way, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to break it down. Everybody say, break it down. So we'll be dealing with it's called textual natural instead of textual synthetic. So if we only get through one half of this verse, amen, at least you'll know half of it.
That's right.
It's better than going through all of it and not know any of it. All right, very slowly, Elder, read that. Call your verse.
Romans chapter 12, beginning with the first verse in the King James translation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
Stop. Notice here, it begins, and here, follow me along, indulge me now this morning, because this is going to take a while to do this, and I will have separate opportunities to come before you. We're going directly to the Greek, amen, because in many instances we are going to there are going to be verses from these translations. It is parakalo un imas a thepthi, which is I therefore urge, exhort you, brethren. So here, Athafi is translated brethren, is a noun, and it's in the vocative case, which means what? It's a direct address. So he's directly addressing us here. Follow me here. Follow me. He's directly addressing us, basically, and he starts out with what we call the superordinate conjunction, which is which means therefore. So, all right. What is a superordinate conjunction? That means that everything we're getting ready to say now, amen, wraps up, it explains, and basically excels over what we previously conveyed to you. So in going up into the antecedent, going up into the prior verses, actually chapters, Romans chapter 9-11 is discoursing what?
Election.
What is it? Let me know, God's people. I guess we have to stop in. It means God's sovereign choice.
That's it.
You didn't choose him.
Nope.
He chose you.
Right.
And where we're going today, it's going to convey the essence that the basic venue and locale of where he chose you summarily dismisses the thought that you chose him. Because what did he choose you? Where?
In eternity.
And I've said to the congregation, and I told those that are watching, listen. Let me ask the question. Where were you saved?
In eternity.
When were you saved?
In eternity.
They said, no, on a certain day I got up and I did a certain thing. And so we said, no. You know, what we should really, really think about is that everywhere in the Bible you see a servant of God, God did the choosing. Starting with Adam.
That's right.
Because he made him and placed him into God.
That's right.
So God chose Adam. Could he have put someone else there? Yeah. But he chose Adam.
Come on with it.
He chose Noah to go in the ark.
He did it.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He chose Abraham to get out of Ur of the Chaldeans and go to a place I'll show you, and chose Sarah to be his wife.
That's right. Okay. Come on with it.
Right?
Right.
Out of the 12 sons, I'm just going to just accelerate this a little bit, of Jacob, who became Israel, he chose Joseph. The youngest. Which basically it is reversive of the blessings.
Sure is.
And then Joseph's father was not the oldest either. Esau was older than Jacob. But he chose what?
Jacob.
Over. Who was the younger. Mm-hmm. Over the older, that is. Who was Esau?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Glory to God.
Yes.
He chose Moses. He chose all the kings and the prophets. He chose the disciples. Now we get down into the church age. We're doing the choosing.
Lord, help us.
Yet we said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's the same, then he's still doing the choosing. But Ephesians chapter 1 conveys to us that he chose us in him before what?
Before the
creation of the world. And I conveyed that to someone one time, and they said, that doesn't mean that. It's all right, didn't it? What does it mean? I said, I don't know, but it doesn't mean that. In other words, he can't choose me before I exist. Well, you existed.
Yes.
Jeremiah? Was it Isaiah? And then Paul backs it up. That you existed before you were formed in the womb of your mother's belly.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I hear debates concerning when does life actually begin. They say, well, it begins at conception. Some say, no, it begins at the actual moment you are separated from your mother's womb. And I smile, because life really means existing. And you existed in eternity when God placed you in the body of Christ. So that is your existence.
Yes, indeed.
How did he do it? In a saying. How he did everything else that exists.
The saying of God. Right.
Again, we don't have time to get today, but check it out. Those who are listening or watching, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Amen. It's by one saying.
One.
Everything exists.
Glory to God. Yeah.
The next word there is the verb parakalo. Parakalo is a verb. It's an indicative mood, and it means to exalt or urge. Now here we reference basically the document. Those of you watching on the website or listening, you can go into again the Doctrine of Discourse, and you'll see a document there called a scriptural analysis of Perennius. What is Perennius? Amen. It comes from the Greek word which means to urge. So how do we urge, exalt, encourage? There are two terms, and I'm going to reprise a few things. There are two terms that I want to bring back up to your consideration and maybe some of your memories. One is called the indicative. Everybody say the indicative.
The indicative.
The other one is the what? Imperative. Everybody say indicative.
Indicative.
Imperative.
Imperative.
The indicative are the facts.
Facts.
The imperative is what you should do. They're commands, but they're commands of grace.
Oh, grace.
Right. And the commands of grace are tied to comprehension. That is doing what you know or what you have come to understand on that basis. Rather than me just standing here and said, do this and that and the other. That didn't work with Israel. How is that going to work with us? Are we any better? And I know it's slow. It's agonizing, it's slow. And it's a drain on the brain. But the results or that you are walking in eternal comprehension,
right,
and eternal consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're going to go in this verse this morning. So, basically, I exhort you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, and here we go back to the Greek after we finish reading the Greek, after we finish reading the King James. Brother Elder, read that entire verse, but I had to get that, I had to get that basic premises of where we're going here, so that as we move forward in the verse, we can actually understand the conveyance.
Amen. Yes.
All right. Read.
Romans chapter 12, first verse, King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
That's not what Paul is saying. Now I know I'm going to get a lot of letters and so forth, but hear me out. We go now to the Greek interlinear. Hopefully they here do a little better. All right, read.
Romans chapter 12, beginning with the first verse in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
I beseech therefore you, brothers.
So good. Pretty good so far.
Through the compassion.
Ah, that's better.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Of
that's
God.
That's better. Read.
Compassions of God to present
stop!
The body.
You have just gone off the track again.
Yeah, sure it did. Right.
Somebody's watching me now and say that preacher's crazy.
That's all right.
All the translations are saying this, and now you're saying it's not saying that. No, no. Let's go to the Greek here. Here, this portion of the verse reads theotong ekritibon to theu para stise. Now, through or by the mercies or compassions that belong to God, of God. Here this verb parastase is an infinitive.
That's right, sure it is.
What is an infinitive?
Verbal noun.
So it is an action word that is just naming something, but it's in the what?
Aorist
tense. Now, if I say 2%, which is the way basically we have infinitives, we put 2 in front of it, to go, to do, which gives the inference that it's something that you haven't already done.
Right.
The aorist tense is what?
Completed
action.
Complete.
Why would he be telling them to do something they've already done? Well, that's the difference between the essence of who you are in Christ, which is already done, and who you are in the flesh temporarily, are the difference between actualization and manifestation.
Yes. Yes.
That's the difference.
Glory.
Now the question comes, well, when did you present before the Lord? When have you ever been in his presence? Sister Karen, you can't go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, 5, 6. You can't go there enough.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Blessed, a great praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having blessed us. With each and every spiritual blessing.
Okay.
Where?
In the heavenlies.
Where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
In Christ. Couples, that is, according as He chose us. Where? In Him. In Christ. When? Before. Everybody said before.
Before.
Pro means before. The foundation of the world.
Yes.
That's when you were presented to Him.
Glory to God. Amen.
That's when you initially in eternity came into His presence.
Yes.
And you've never left there.
Never.
So this is what He's talking about.
Isn't it? Okay.
And what He is appealing to is the inner man. And eternal consciousness of knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Not to do to be, but to do because you are. Oh, give God the praise.
Glory.
Whatever is the creed will manifest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going,
mm-hmm.
basically, with this. Now another part of this is that what throws us off is that they're taught that you are to somehow dress yourself up to the point of being acceptable to God.
Oh my.
That's the part of this that's just ridiculous. Now, a life that is lived according to the knowledge that is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly, it's God's process.
Yes.
I'm drawing out of you
identification
that's in Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's God's process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But He's doing it, not you.
Come on here.
Old folk had it right. They said, when you see me walking right, what?
God's
when you see me talking right, what? When you see me acting like me, that's me. So here, He's not saying that some way they can just present themselves to God,
nope.
living sacrifice is acceptable to God. Now here's where we're going with this. And give me about 10 minutes and I'm going to bail out for the day and probably running out of a little gas anyway, but I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, through the mercies of God, speaks to your justification in origination source. Through God, through the mercies of God.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between by and through.
Mm-hmm.
By means remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Through means the essence of you progressing according to what has been conveyed to you.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that is, you are in Christ.
That's it.
Paul writes to the Corinthians one time, don't you know who you are?
Amen.
I'm
yeah.
paraphrasing.
Yes.
Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
He was talking about the body of Christ.
Praise Jesus.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I know somebody's going to write me on that, and one day we'll exit you.
Mm-hmm.
Thea. through is a preposition. It's in the genitive case. What is the genitive case?
Ownership,
possession.
So basically, who possesses the mercy?
God.
Who possesses the grace?
God.
Who possesses the enablement?
God. God.
To have presented. Basically now, we're going to go to an indicative to draw out the imperative. The fact of who you are, so that you can identify with who you are.
We are. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you.
Follow closely now.
Thank you.
He speaks of your bodies, but he is speaking of the manifestation of testimony of your bodies. Your sacrifice, living, separated, holy to God. And then we have the adjective Evaritan. Evaritan. Which is an adjective. Now all of these are in the accusative case. But the next word, basically, to God. But Deacon, you draw that, that definite article there. Well, I guess we don't have time. It's in the dative case.
Dative.
When something is dative, it is either what? It's locative. Or is what? Instrumental. Locative, it is in the sphere of. An instrumental is about the means of. So it's either in the sphere of God or by the means of God. What he is saying there is that your sacrifice can only be living separate and acceptable in Christ or through Christ. Not you presenting yourself to
oh,
man.
I hear you.
Here I am, all depraved.
Me
and
present. Oh God.
Now it does speak to identification.
Yes, yes,
yes.
That you identify with the sacrifice of Christ. You identify that he with him in his resurrection that you are living. You identify with him in the fact that he is separate. So if he is separate, you are separate. And you identify with Christ that he is the only one that is acceptable in God. So it's identification. This is what he's speaking to here.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Now that's the difference. As I go into my clothes, and I'm going to do a little reading here. Let's take out the document. That's the difference between temporary worldly impressions. Everybody said temporary worldly impressions.
Temporary.
That's what you think you're doing. You thank you by your actions showing yourself acceptable to God. The eternal actualized existence or essence is that you are showing your identification with Christ's acceptance to God. That's what you're doing. Now, so that part would basically read, I exhort you therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God, to having presented your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable and identification to being acceptable in by the means of the essence of who you are in Christ.
Right.
And that's the only way you are acceptable to God.
That is so true. In Christ.
Now he ends it with your intelligent service. Mm-hmm. We'll pick this up next week. That is, you are operating in the intelligence of comprehension.
All right.
Of who you are and what you are.
Right.
That's what he's saying. In the document, I'm going to read the first paragraph, and then we're going to be down for the day. Inadequate secular impressions of so-viewed physical world orders reflect basically what most earthly-focused mindsets construe as tangibly configuring existence, what you think you're doing, you're not doing. God did it. God did all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In Christ you're everything.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Christ you're nothing.
Yeah,
yeah. In a sense, what is relied on principally is what is retained in earthly acquaintances, resonations. In other words, we're so physical, touch, taste, see, physically held and secularly interfacing and everything, and that we think of God like we think of ourselves.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Completely different.
Yes, yes.
However, mm-hmm. none of this is subscripturally substantial, even in very visible interpretations and rearrangements are convened in these suppositions. You think that's how it goes, and then a lot of times, if you think it's how it goes, you think that's how you think how that, you think it how you think that is how it ends. That's how it culminates. Physical, secular explanations of the essence of existence clearly motivate secular tendencies and complicated philosophical inferences of acquaintances. Oh my God. Such stress two age-old philosophical questions. What are they? What are they? That is, what environs advocate the narratives of human knowledge? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? What we know, as we read earlier in the pastor's pen, what we think we know that we don't know, where did we get that from? That's the difference between knowledge and matured knowledge.
Right.
That's the difference between knowledge, so-called knowledge from impressions, from perfect knowledge in actualized existence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
To know who you are and who you are and what you're doing basically gives you, amen, an advantage over those who walking around thinking they're doing something that they're not.
Yeah. Praise Jesus.
My friend, you can only please God through Christ.
Through Christ. Only.
Only, that's it. Mm-hmm. No other way.
Christ alone pleases God.
Hallelujah.
I hear you.
What we do is identify with who we are in the essence of us having been placed in Christ. That's our acceptance to God. Oh, give him a praise this
morning.
The other question, basically, is how is such possible in its origination? How, if this is true, where did it originate from? If it's not out of God, and it doesn't align with God, and it doesn't align with the essence of Christ, then who you are, who you think you are, basically, is just an impression.
Amen. Amen.
To go to the actualized essence, you must go through the same.
Amen.
Existence is about what is. So now many things that we think that are,
yes,
aren't.
Yes.
And we think that things work and they don't. And even if we get some what we call results, it didn't happen the way you thought it happened.
Hallelujah.
All right, finish this up. So it's only possible through originating in God. Philosophy viewing originated on the, and we'll start here next week, the eponymous, that is humanly nomenclature, that's the way we name things or we designate things, there is in philosophy called critique of pure reason. That means I'm assessing things based upon what's reasonable to me, what's humanly reasonable. Another so-called is called conceptual pragmatism. We'll deal with these next week. Aspiring what, and this is where these come from, religions, worldly religions, scientism, and technologies, purportedly developed in what? Creature comprehensions throughout the centuries.
Throughout. That's right.
So you drew that thing from yourself. What is in you beside depravity? If it came from within you, it's worthless.
Praise God.
Florida.
What did we read in the pastor's pen?
I'm earth.
That he knows, God knows, that the thoughts that come from depravity are what? They're empty. They're worthless.
They're empty.
They're not worth anything. So to draw opinions or expressions to get answers, where do we go? To the Word of God. And this is why each week, no matter what's going on out there, no matter what the polls say,
that's right. Now, come on.
They're not going to utilize majority of our time. Or we go to the poll and vote, and I give the political, and we'll be giving the political statement from this rostrum for the next several weeks.
Right.
On that day, you're going to go there and you're going to vote. If you vote, it was the creed. If you didn't vote, if you don't vote, that's the creed too. And who you vote for is also the creed.
Awesome.
But no matter who comes up and who says whatever, it doesn't give the essence of determining or controlling. Who controls?
God alone.
Who alone controls?
God alone.
All right. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Glory.
Amen. Glory.